Greetings and salutations, you kinky fucks. Welcome back for episode 122 of Kinks with Kiki. Go ahead and jump into this now and get it started with S&M, aka Song and Mood of this week. It is going to be Week for Your Love by The Sacred Souls. So let me just preface that by saying I am not weak for anyone's love at the moment, but I really, really like The Sacred Souls as a trio. I think they are a phenomenal group. They have a very, like a very old school vibe to them that gives off like very like late 60s. Maybe mid to late 60s, not more so like 70s, definitely not 80s, but they're giving off that, like that boy, I don't want to say boy band. Did they say boy band? But like, you know how it was in the 60s where it was like the lead singer and he had like six people in the background. They all was matching and completely in uniform. It just, it gives off like a very retro. I wish I could figure out a way to exactly word it when it comes to the Weak Souls, the Weak Souls, the Sacred Souls as an actual, like an artist or a group. I can't say group, but they give off a very retro soul because that's the best that I can explain it by, like, it's very, like, Southern soul, very Motown, but they are S&M this week because The Sacred Souls, and I know, like, I feel like everybody knows the song, Can I Call You Rose? They actually have bangers, and they are a whole mood because, truthfully, that's the type of music you will hear in my space. I may share one of my playlists one day. I have this playlist called Vibes, and it's The Sacred Souls, Masego, John Doe or Jane Doe, Black Party, Lucky Day, Manny Wells, Flower Child, oh, James Tillman, which he literally has one of the most perfect songs called And Then, and I believe that's been one of my song and moods, but like the list just goes on, like Ravina, Charlotte Day Wilson, Aaron Fraser. These are the people that I listen to. Malia. Oh, Malia. I love her. These are the people I listen to on a consistent basis. So whole mood, whole vibe. S&M, aka Song and Mood of this week, is going to be Week for Your Love by The Sacred Souls. Jumping into this episode because it is going to be a quick one. I'm going to go ahead and get to Weekly with Kiki. So there are some things that have been happening in life that I can't really talk about. They're not bad things. I can't really talk about them as of yet. But there have been some things happening and I may disappear for a while because of it, which is a great thing. Trust me. I might be able to throw out an episode here or there. I don't know yet, but I may be on hiatus for a few months because of some things that I need to get taken care of. Like I said, completely everything about this hiatus is going to be phenomenal. It's not for mental health purposes. It's actually for the betterment of me. So just want to throw that out there. Nothing's really happening in my life right now. It is winter and it is cold. We are officially recovered from the last snow, and I hope that's the only snow we get considering that spring is next month. But in New York, you never know. So my weeks, time, it's been chill. Like I haven't really done much. I've been out and about with friends, coworkers who I consider my friends because they are my friends. Went to a birthday party yesterday and it was nice. That party was well deserved to the work bestie that it was for. And I'm glad I got the opportunity to go, and I got to hang out with my work family. This is how you know I bang with these people. Like, we gang in real life, because I see them Monday through Friday, literally Monday through Friday every week, unless like somebody's on vacation or out sick, which is kind of rare for all of us. These are my people that I see 5 days a week. And you have a lot of people that move in a space of like, my coworkers are my coworkers. I see them Monday through Friday and that's it. These are people I actually care for. So we do things on weekends together. Like, we show up for each other outside of the workspace, because outside of being coworkers, we are legitimately friends. So I went to her birthday party. She has the most amazing view of New York City, from her apartment, and I wish, but I can't live in an area that has a view, because 9 times out of 10, those areas don't have trains or parking. So you lost me there. I need to be able to have access to a train at a minute's notice, and I need to be able to not drive around for 6 hours looking for parking, because that is a real thing in Queens, which is why I will not live in Queens anymore unless it borders Nassau County. So anyway, week's been great. I was sick for a couple of weeks, which is why I didn't do an episode, because the following week when I posted an episode, and it was the episode with Mr. L and I. That's not considered, it's a part of a series that I'm planning to work out throughout the year, where I will be doing kink with friends, and I'll be talking to my personal friends who are in the lifestyle or kinky or just a little bit alternative when it comes to like sexual space. And we'll just be kikiing, and I'll be asking them questions so you guys can get to know them better, because these are the people that I consider to be my people. So when I did the episode prior to the episode with Mr. L, by the way, hi Mr. L, I got extremely sick. Mr. L's episode was not supposed to come out when it came out, and it came out when it did because I was physically too sick to record for a couple of weeks. I didn't have COVID, but it was a severe cold to the point where I had no voice. And you might still hear me sound like a little wonky, but it took me a while to get my voice back. Like, that first week I couldn't talk at all. Like, I just stopped trying. Like, I was trying to go to work because I've been doing great when not missing work, but it was bad. Like, everybody was at work like, you sound better than you like, you sound worse than you look. But like, they would hear me and was like, girl, go home. Like, my boss heard me, and he was like, one of my bosses, because I have like 90 bosses. And he was like, he don't play that sick shit at all. He was like, what do you need, a vitamin C? He gave me a vitamin C tablet. And he was like, you don't sound great, go home. And I was like, no, I'm always fighting it. Like, I'll come to work dragging, hanging on by a thread sick. And they'll be like, leave. But you know what it is? I'd rather they tell me to leave than me to call out. Because if you see I made an active effort to come in this bitch, and I clocked in and I was like working, and then an hour later I was just like, oh child, I feel bad. And he was like, go home. So I haven't been able to record because, one, my voice has been wonky. Two, I haven't felt all that great. Three, I'm still trying to get my voice back. Like, you hear it. I hear it. Everybody hears it. I still have a cough. Like, I tested like 6 times for COVID. It was negative every time. I was down every time. This time of the year always fucks me up. By the time you guys hear this, The Reed would have had their live show. Anybody knows me knows I am a day one fan of The Reed. I started listening to The Reed in 2013 when they were like 5 episodes in. And let me tell you one thing about me. I have not missed a live show outside of COVID and moving to Ohio. That is my shit. So when they started doing live shows, I want to say in like 2018, it was like 5 years later after the show. Maybe like 2 years after the show started. I saw them twice in Charlotte, 2014, 2015. no, 2015, 2016. I saw them in New York in 2017, 2018, and almost in 2019, but I moved to Ohio. 2020, COVID happened. 2021, they were like, nah, COVID. 2022, they were still on some nah, COVID. They had a show last year, and I actually got COVID from that show. So I've been like on the fence because I'm like, the tickets are available. I can just throw my money out there and show up and pull up to the Beacon Theater tonight at 8. And I'm over the top. I like to be in line and on time. So I'm always there like an hour prior where I can get in, sit down and get comfy. I'm a little nervous because I've been sick and COVID kicked my ass. That was the first time I'd ever had COVID in 2023. I can't believe I survived 3 years, no COVID, just to go to one of my favorite podcasts on earth and get severely sick. I want to preface that with saying with a mask on. Okay. It is cold, flu, COVID, and RSV season. So I had on a mask at the show and I still got sick, which makes me question the whole mask theory, but neither here nor there. So by the time you guys hear this, the show would have happened. I still have time to go. It's only 2:42. I don't know. But yeah, so I said all that to say, bring it back around. I may be on hiatus for a bit. Time is, you know, going by. I've spent time with friends. I'm working. I'm nose deep, like ankle deep into my career right now because things are going to move in such a great direction for me in the next 2 years that has to have the majority of my attention. So life is life, and you know, still recovering, still got a little dry cough, still got a little scratchiness to my voice, but your girl is here. I'm recording. And this week, go ahead and jump off of that because I've been talking long enough. Quick episode. I want to discuss something that I have never discussed before, and that is going to be cross-dressing. Now, every fetish we know, I've talked about, there are some fetishes that are sexual, there are some fetishes that are non-sexual, but I am definitely, with this podcast, I've definitely been adamant about not just focusing on fetishes and kinks that relate more to where they're more digestible to me because it's my show. No, absolutely not. I want everyone who may be into the lifestyle, may have a kink, may have a fetish, I want everybody to feel included. So let's get into it. So this week I will be discussing everything and all things that I was able to find, do research and read on regarding cross-dressing. So cross-dressing is a term that refers to wearing the clothing or costumes that are typically associated with the opposite sex from the individual that is actually wearing them. Now, I found several terms that relate to cross-dressing, starting with the first being transvestic fetishism. And that word was, I mean, I'm an adult and I'm a young adult, and I've heard, you know, transvestite in my lifetime. But this is the first time I've heard of it in more so of a PC manner, because, you know, people in their negative connotations around things unnecessarily. We know how this world works. I'm just going to say that. Woo, I had to take a break. I told y'all, this post-cold is kicking my behind. Like, I almost coughed up lung. Try not to do that on the mic. I mean, somebody might like that, but nah. So like I said, transvestic fetishism is a fetish. I stopped coughing. My dog starts coughing. Yo, we down bad in this room, yo. Okay, let me go. Transvestic fetishism is a sexual fetish that involves dressing in the clothes, like I said, cross-dressing, that are typically associated with the opposite gender. known as cross-dressing, of course. It can be a source of sexual gratification for those who enjoy it, and it can be a form of sexual satisfaction for those that enjoy it, because some people actually can get off, so to speak, from the idea or the act of wearing clothing of the opposite sex. So it is known that cross-dressing can be mostly seen, but not completely seen, in heterosexual men. So, of course, cross-dressing can include wearing clothing such as dresses, skirts, lingerie, and high heels. For some people, the act of cross-dressing, like I said, can be arousing as well as gratifying, and can come off as a person who is not conforming to traditional gender roles, or they may feel like they're expressing a part of themselves that is typically not accepted by society. And guys, you know, I said growing up, like in the era that I grew up in, but thank God I grew up in an era where I was young enough where my having my own opinion and my own views and my own sound mind to watch and observe life, we were the generation that we were able to be not necessarily molded, but our minds weren't able to be changed by somebody who shared, you know, the type of mentality that that our grandparents or parents may have experienced. Like my parents, being Black Southerners, grew up in the rural South where homophobia was running amok, and this particular topic would have just been, not saying that like my parents are homophobic, but what I'm saying is they grew up in a time where they were only taught the opposite of what my generation and the generations after me were taught. And I love that I'm a part of a generation where you may have heard whatever you heard about any phobia, but being of sound mind, having access to additional knowledge and research and Google, because Google came out when I was a kid, we are able to be like, yeah, we hear you. Yeah. That's how you feel. However, my own personal individual opinion for me definitely is the opposite, because I'm going to believe what I choose to believe. You can't help what you believe, because that's just how you were molded as a child and an adult and an older adult. And you know how the older people be, y'all. Like, they be stuck in their ways. They don't be wanting to change for anybody. Even when you try to give them a clue on things, like with my parents right now in banking. I'm sorry, guys. I'm still struggling. My parents with banking. Like, they're just like, we don't trust the bank. If they could, they put all their money in a mattress. And I'm like, you cannot do that with so much money. Like, you have to be realistic. Getting off subject, but what I'm saying is, thank God I was of the generation where we do have the right and, you know, the opportunity to form our own unbiased opinions. So on a psychological aspect of this particular fetish, it says that transvestic fetishism can be linked to, not saying that it is for everyone, you know, I gotta make a blanket statement, not saying that this is literally for everyone who may be into cross-dressing, women, men, however you identify. Psychologically, they're saying that in some cases, it can be linked to gender identity and sexuality. But I want to continue to emphasize, I'm really struggling, that is not the case. Maybe I shouldn't have did an episode, because like my voice still isn't 100%, and I'm like 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks post-cold, but I'm going to keep going, because at this point, we're about 19 minutes in, so it's no use to stop at this point. So when it comes to cross-dressing being a fetish of yours, whether you are a woman or a man or however you identify, the important thing is, especially if you find someone who shares this kink with you and they, you know, they're your person and they also share this kink, it adds clearly so much excitement, and it spices up and adds variety to your relationship as well as the sexual portion of your relationship. However, you always know, I'm always going to say, it is important to communicate with your partner openly, honestly, about your desires, listen and, you know, process their desires. Also, you want to talk about both of your boundaries, because like any kink, like any fetish, consent and communication are totally key. It's also important to ensure that both parties in this relationship are comfortable. Once again, they're consenting to any activities that may be revolving around cross-dressing. So when I was doing my research, I found how they've broken down cross-dressing by gender, meaning there's a term for men who are into cross-dressing and there is a term for women who are into cross-dressing. So I am going to break those two down really quickly. Like I said, it's going to be a quick episode. I do have an email. I can't remember if I read it. I feel like it was something I honestly may have missed. So I'm going to read it again because I don't want this listener to think that I just ignored them entirely. I have like 600 emails that I have to go through between January and now. So y'all bear with me because it's a lot. And like I said, it's only me that has access to all of my entities, my social medias, my emails, my like everything is strictly just me, no one else, because I don't want to give anyone else access to the potential of exposing people who have trusted me to keep them anonymous. So it's all me, love. Absolutely. So the two terms that I found, I'm going to start with the first one, and it is called eonism. So the term eonism comes from the late 19th century, and it is derived from the name of French chevalier Dion. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Don't fight me, French. But he was known as a famous cross-dresser. So that's where the term eonism came from. So eonism refers to specifically the act of a man cross-dressing in woman's clothing. And it could be for the reason of fetishism, or it could just be out of fantasy. So to be clear, eonism is not the same. And the other term that I'm going to speak about in a little bit, neither one of these are the same as being transgender. They are not associated with one another at all. Sorry. Because we are talking about, you know, when it comes to this particular dress with gender, obviously they are not the same. Transgenders identify as a gender that they were not assigned at birth. So that's why I want you guys to know that me saying transvest and transgender are not the same thing. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and jump right back into eonism. Since this particular term does not identify or does not involve a person that identifies with the opposite gender, I want to jump into how to approach and how to go about eonism. I just wanted to jump off of the differentiating between the two. So when you are considering eonism, well, cross-dressing, the thing and the rules to getting started are to communicate. I just said that consent, communicate is extremely important, especially if you are involving another party. But you want to talk, you know, just be open, be honest, talk about, you know, desires, boundaries, and things of that nature. You also want to start small. Like, it could be starting with incorporating a small piece of clothing or an accessory. Like, it's something you want to gradually, and I say this with any, to me personally, any kink, any fetish, you want to start small. Because you can't you're still very new to it. You're slightly uneducated about it because you do lack the experience. No matter how much you read, learning and experiencing really are two different things, and you learn through experience as well. So starting small and not jumping in face first without an idea of how to do that exactly is what you want to do. You, like I said, it can be in private. You can plain sight, you know. I guess it would just depend on the level of comfort that you have initially starting. When I did my research, one of the things that they said as in regards to starting Eonism is to seek support. Like, there is something for everyone out there. Everybody has a thing that they like. And lo and behold, because the world is massive, you often will find people who like the exact same thing that you like. So thinking that nobody on earth can like this thing, honestly, love, think again. Because they probably do, to be completely honest. And the last thing with Eonism is to be discreet. And it's unfortunate that that was one of the options when I was doing my research. But in the world we do live in, also, you know, although massive, of course, and you will find someone who can relate and is in your bubble of like relatability. At the end of the day, like all of us, we don't want to put ourselves in situations that could possibly put us at risk or in danger. So by be discreet, they mean just honestly is being aware, because although a lot of us are free loving, we want everyone else to love who they love, and we move in a space of non-judgment, there are so many other people who do not. So I don't want to really say be discreet. I'd rather say be discerning and genuinely be careful. Now, the last term, didn't find much on it, unfortunately. Even when I looked, I'm like, damn it. Like, do we just not have things? But anyway, the last term is autoandrophilia. And this is often when a woman desires for fetish, sexual arousal, sexual gratification. She chooses to dress in man's clothing. I didn't find a lot on this, and I'm going to tell you why I didn't find a lot on it, because although I do understand and I am aware, because I am a human being who has intelligence, that what I'm about to say can be associated with this particular fetish or sexual interest, you don't harp on this and make it seem like, oh, this is why this exists. And I'll go into why I didn't do, because why I didn't indulge in that particular part of autoandrophilia, because they were like, oh, it's gender dysmorphia, or it's a condition where they're having a biological sex and gender identity crisis. And I found that sexism is a real thing. Patriarchy is a real thing. I found it very odd that when I was looking this up and how they spoke about cross-dressing being predominantly a male kind of like dominated fetish, I didn't see a lot of psychology behind it saying they must be confused. However, and I'm not trying to make this like a feminist thing, but I have to bring that to the forefront. When I looked at autoandrophilia, they didn't mention women wearing men's clothing for the sexual gratification or for the fetish. They mentioned, oh, clearly something is wrong. It must be some type of dysphoria, or they're not really sure who they are, or hear me out, it could be a lot like cross-dressing, and these heterosexual men that you all say are the common factor of cross-dressing, it could just be that these women like to dress in men's clothing because it pleases them. It doesn't have to be linked to a mental health issue or a crisis that they're encountering in their life based around gender and their biological sex. So unfortunately, I didn't find anything on it that I thought would be helpful to my listeners, because the only thing they wanted to talk about when women did this was, well, it must be mental illness. Something must be wrong with her. Why does she want to dress as a man? Is she having a crisis? No. Just like those men who like to wear lingerie under their pantsuit or their suit when they go to work, it's because they like it. They're not harming themselves. They're not harming anyone else. But God forbid a woman would want to dress as a man, and all of a sudden, it's a whole mental health crisis. I'm going to stop right there. So unfortunately, I didn't find anything, but this is the eonism for women. And that is autoandrophilia. So I'm going to bring this episode to a close. I am pushing up about 31 minutes and I have an email. Like I said, y'all got to bear with me. My life be life in you. I can't remember if this was an actual email that I read. I like going back to like my sent emails to see if I like spoke to that person, if I confirmed with that person, like, oh, we talked about, thank you for your submission. I don't see that. So with that being said, because typically if I get an email, I try my best to respond to the person to let them know, like, oh, I got it. It was seen. I just know October was hectic for me. So I'm going to jump into the email. Of course, you guys know I keep everyone anonymous because I feel like that protects people. And I just don't want to put people out there in that manner. So it says, hello, girls. Are you talking to me or like I'm just one person? But okay. Hi. Me and my partner, girlfriend, fiance, future wife, love that for you, need your assistance, support, advice, help, tips, or tricks regarding this particular topic. We are both in our 20s as well, 24 and 25, and from the UK. Basically, and this is the email, guys. So basically, my partner has this, I'm not going to say weird because weird is subjective. So if you think it's weird, that's on you. I don't think it's weird because, you know, I come from a very neutral zone. I want to hear everybody's everything without being judgmental. Not saying that you're judgmental, but I'm going to read. So basically, my partner has like this weird fetish, kink obsession with tummies, belly buttons, bellies, innies, and outies. She specifically has a fetish for my belly button, which is an outie. My belly button sticks out a tiny bit on my belly. I don't know why I was born with my belly button sticking out. I don't know if it was down to a hernia or if I had diastasis recti or if I was just naturally born with an outie. She basically wants to mess around, tease, or play with my belly button in different ways, especially with her wet tongue by licking my belly button. She also wants to suck on my belly button, as well as she wants to tickle it a lot and bite it or nibble on it playfully, as she wants to kiss it or snog. I love that you guys are from the UK. It's so cute. Snog my belly button, and she wants to poke at it, prod it with her fingers or tongue. She does belly farts or, you know, in America, or I see where you put that, belly raspberries on it loudly. And I want to work out with her to see if I like having my belly button teased or blown on, but I have a very hypersensitive ticklish belly button, and my belly is overly hypersensitive or ticklish. I'm really self-conscious about having an outie belly button in general. Also, I wanted to know how I can turn the tables on her by messing around or teasing with her tummy or her innie belly button. She also wants to lick, eat whipped cream or honey, oh, chocolate syrup, sauce, and ice cream and other things off of my outie belly button. She also wants to use cold items, products, and products that she's found or bought, including cold ice cubes on my belly button as well. So I guess they're trying to figure out how to navigate your fiance, future wife, having a fetish for stomachs and belly buttons. I too have a thing for belly buttons. I don't know why. And I will say I have an outie. And it has been something, like, it was something I was extremely self-conscious about when I was younger, because it didn't protrude. Like, you couldn't see it in my, like, outside of my shirt or inside of my shirt. But if I wore, like, a crop top or a bikini, it's just there. Like, it was deep enough to be like a shot glass. Like, it was never like the typical innie. You could still see the space where my cord was. So it was always weird to me. I was always insecure about it. I think it's just honestly something you have to make peace with, which is what I did all those years ago when I was a teenager, because we are who we are. There's nothing that you can do to change that. So you honestly, you just have to learn to love it. And I feel like life is about really just going through the phases of life and learning to love the changes in yourself and learning to love the things about yourself and owning the things about yourself. Because at the end of the day, unless you are going to surgically or medically alter them, it really isn't anything that you can do. So my best advice would always be to work at learning to love it. And I think that will help you. Clearly, your fiance loves it. I hope you take that as like a form of admiration and pour it into yourself as well to also give that love to your outie. Because as an outie person as well, I definitely understand where you're coming from. So I know how you feel. I would say when you said you ask how if you could turn the tables on her, like messing around with your tummy to messing with hers, I guess the first question I would have is that honestly a thing for you? Do you have a thing for stomachs and belly buttons? I have a thing for stomachs. I love my men a little thicker. I love me a little pudge. Like, I like to kiss on it, bite on it a little bit. And like, you should see my hand. I hate I don't have video, but whatever. Like, grab on their stomach a little bit because I like a little meat, I like a little fluff. So first, starting with, do you like it? Or is this something that you'd want to do for the satisfaction of the both of you? And if it is, I think that you should bring it to her attention and also have the conversation about your level of comfortability around her wanting to do things with your outie, especially with you being self-conscious about it. So if she's doing anything that gives you a slight discomfort because of your self-consciousness, which I can totally identify with, a conversation needs to be had about that. So maybe you guys can slow it down a bit and gradually build up like the activities around it. When you get a little bit more comfortable with having an outie, so I think it all starts at the base of you being comfortable, owning the fact that you have an outie, not giving a shit what anybody has to say about it, because clearly your fiance loves it. And I think that is a beautiful thing, that she loves something that you see as flawed. That sounds like a great partner to me, because we're all flawed in one way or another. So definitely getting to the root of you accepting, this is what it is. I have an outie, bitch. Not you saying bitch to her, but like saying, I have an outie and this is me. This is who I am. And I own it and I love it. And I wear it with pride. So I think getting there first is like just working on your own self-consciousness and then gradually incorporating activities that make you comfortable, but are also satisfying to you, but also satisfying to your partner as well. And I really, really hope that helps. Follow, like, send me a follow-up email. Let me know how it's going. I know this was a couple of months ago. I'm so sorry. I am just getting to your email and just responding to it. But if anything has shifted since you sent me the email, absolutely, absolutely. Email me back. I will be on the lookout for it if you do. And then I can go from there and respond to you, or I can respond on the show, or I can do both. You let me know. And that is going to bring episode 122 to a close, guys. You can follow me on Instagram at Kinks with Kiki Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter, where I don't really be doing shit or talking about anything, just random shit, at Kinks with Kiki. Also, if you want to email me a question or if you need advice, you can email me at kinkswithkiki@gmail.com. And I promise I will get to your message and I will respond as quickly as I can. And I will talk about it on the show if you want me to, or I'll respond to you directly. So yeah, that's going to bring this episode to a close. Happy Monday, beautiful people. I hope you have a great week. If you are anywhere in a cold region, stay warm. Thank God the sun is out, because the gray and gloom has been kicking your girl's ass. And as always, I am your dose of Black girl in this kinky ass world. And until next time, my beautiful people, peace.